by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Let's give thanks to the Lord, everyone. Let's just thank the Lord this morning. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. Father, we worship You. Lord, we give You thanks. We bless Your holy name, our Father. Thank You this morning. Oh, we worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm not hearing you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We give God praise. You may be seated. Good to be in church this morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to be commencing Sunday school this morning. The Sunday school this morning is designed to further help us to gain the attitude of being pastored. We will keep going through some of these things because we have people come and, you know, new people come and some of them have never, you know, one of the things I discovered about church is that I noticed a lot of people don't understand church culture. They don't understand church life. They don't understand the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. So they don't know how to even relate with the pastor. There's a whole lot about church. And once church life is not solid, you discover people will be in church and yet make a lot of mistakes that makes them fall prey in the hands of the enemy. Meaning they will just take steps that will just land them in the snare of the fowler. Just simply because of not knowing that this is actually what I ought to do as one who is being pastored, or one who is in a local assembly. I want to use the word, contemporary word, that they are support systems that are the Lord has placed in the church to enable you, even the weakest of us, to still continue until you get to the point where you become strong, to the point where you become spiritual stalwarts. But truly, many are not aware of it. So we'll keep going through these, you know, teachings from time to time to enable us, you know, get acquainted with these things so that we'll know what to do when the need arises. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are going to be treating the case for house fellowship churches, you know, just for us to understand that, you know, I know one of the things that happened to us within the past 2 years is that we not been having house fellowship for the past 2 years. And the reason was because of COVID. COVID is now past being a pandemic to becoming epidemic. Those who are in the medical, this thing, you can understand what I'm talking about. It has now started becoming something that we have to learn how to deal with, how to live with, according to their medical term. And I'm also trying to encourage us not to be faint-hearted, because there's a presence of the Lord in the house that will keep everyone healthy. If you just do what you are asked to do, instructions will come from the medical department. And I always say this, if you have anything disturbing you, just call the medical department of the church. We had to create that. I didn't even know that we are going to arrive at this point where we'll have this kind of pandemic, epidemic. You know the difference? I don't know. I don't want to explain that terminology, the difference between pandemic and epidemic. All right, but I didn't know we arrived here, but somewhere I was stirred up in my spirit. That was last year. That was last year or year before last? Year before last, to, you know, organize a department, medical department, and there were many reasons for that. So we have them right now, and their leader is Babati, is not here, but I'm sure Anu is here. That's Dr. Anu is here. They have all their team members. If there's anything that is going on with you, please call them and let them know. One of the reasons also is so that we can assess the best medical attention that is possible, because Babati works in General Hospital and also works there, and you know, all of that. And then we have the liars with our daddy, Daddy Lamikora, in London, so who has been a medical doctor for many years and is a minister of the gospel. So if there's anything at all wrong with you, just quickly let them know. Don't leave it too long. Sometimes we leave things too long and then it becomes an issue. Just let them know so that they will give you quick medical advice on what to do. Some of them, it's just something to do, you come out of it. Amen. So the reason why we have not had house fellowship is because of the pandemic. But still, church life has to continue. That's the way I look at it. Life has to continue. Amen. What did I say? Fellowship has to continue. Fellowship is very, very key to our journey. As much fellowship, the Bible said, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, especially when you see that day drawing nearer. That gathering of ourselves together was talking to a particular company, and the company is a company of brethren, and these are brethren in Christ. So, like I said, everything is returning back to us if we are normal. And so we also have to begin again our house fellowship. Now, house fellowship was designed to make it possible for you to be reached. The house fellowship is designed to make it I'm not teaching it, I'm just opening it up. It's designed to make it possible for you to be adequately, is one of the pastoral trusts to you as a congregation, to enable the pastorate to have a reach towards you. Now, we are getting bigger and getting bigger. I don't know. The Lord will just, as He keeps expanding. Some of you, I only know you by face. It's not my fault. There's no way I can. I'm not a supercomputer. I'm not Jehovah. He's the only one that knows all of us by name and knows all of us by even the tiniest molecule, your DNA. He knows you. But I don't know you. I only know you by face, by name, if you've had to come close, either by reason of counseling or something. And so it is also with the pastors. I know some of them know you more. But you know, the house fellowship is such that it is a cluster of people, you know, within a particular location, and they have their house fellowship leader who acts as a pastor that gives information to the pastorate, so that if there is anything happening to any one of you, it will definitely, you know, seamlessly get to the pastorate, and the pastorate will know immediately and then know how to attend to it. It's to enable us to pastor you very well. So the things you're going to be hearing being taught this morning is to sensitize you again. Praise God. To sensitize you again. I know some of you, we are preparing Sunday school because you heard we are going to be treating everlasting life question. Don't worry, we will do that. We will do that. We intend to just do this because house fellowship is going to be, as we are teaching it today, by next Sunday, right? Are we doing next Sunday or this Sunday? Next Sunday. House fellowship will begin by next Sunday, from next Sunday. Amen. I love that excitement. So in the course of the teaching also, we will want to know places where you reside, so that we will pray. I'm sure maybe that, let's do this, Pastor. Let's prepare a little form, either online or physical or hard copy, that they can fill. Basically, what we are looking for is your location, your name, your address, your location, your phone number, so that we can, if there is at least up to 5-6 people in a location, we will start a house fellowship there. Yeah, that's how we began it. And then one of the things also about house fellowship is also a tool of evangelism. There was a time when we had house fellowship crusades. We had to have all the house fellowship go for, you know, have crusades and all of that in all the house fellowship. And we find people who are not even members of the church, who hear, probably neighbors in the compound, hear what is going on or what is being taught, and they join, and eventually they start coming to church. Praise God. So you can't tell what the Lord will want to do with it, but we just want to yield ourselves to whatever God wants to do. Amen. All right, so this morning we are going to be taking that study for the next 4 Sundays. We are going to be taking that Sunday. Then afterwards, then we'll come into everlasting life. Amen. Let's do this one so that we will have entrance into everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. Are you ready this morning? Let's welcome Pastor TJ.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Thank God for Sunday school. Sunday school is back. Give God praise. How many of us missed Sunday school? We didn't miss Sunday school. I know we are all being blessed. We are happy that we are being blessed. We enjoyed this moment of prayer, didn't we? I know it was time of blessing. The Lord used it to work a great work in us, and we will never recover from that in Jesus' name. Okay, so as Daddy has said, this morning we are beginning a study. As Daddy has described, it is not less in importance than any other study. So our attention will be required. Our hearts should be in it. Every Sunday school from this platform, by the grace of God, is a blessing to us. Let's say amen. And so let's trust God to connect with the burden. It's a burden in the heart of God's servant. And we will do well to prosper in the receiving of that burden, so that we can fulfill obedience in this regard. Our obedience will not be complete, especially as an assembly, if we do not do this and do this well. Let's say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Okay. The topic is scriptural background or lesson one. The theme is the case for house fellowship churches or house fellowship. Scriptural background, blessings, and importance of house fellowship churches. It's not much, so we will read every scripture by God's grace. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to gather at your feet. Every time we can gather at your feet to learn, it's an opportunity for us to increase in understanding, that our obedience will be further strengthened. We ask this morning that you open up our hearts, you cause our minds, O God, to retain, cause us to align with this obedience in the name of Jesus. Every part of us that does not yet understand or does not yet see the importance of this, let light shine in the name of Jesus. Let our hearts come to the point of complete obedience in this regard, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask for grace for explanation. We ask for insight. We ask for understanding. Let there be utterance this morning, Lord. And let your name be glorified. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Okay, we'll just go through all the scriptures. It's on the screen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Shall we read it together? Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. 1, 2, go. Okay, 80% of us probably did not read it. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. My name. Yeah. in the midst of them. Okay, let's open to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. It's very short, so we can read the whole thing. Psalm 133. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. To dwell together in unity. Okay. We are reading from 1 to 3, the whole verse, the whole chapter. Thank you. Verse 2. The precious ointment upon the head that ran upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Verse 3. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Let's read Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. Romans chapter 16 from verse 3 to 5. It's on the screen. Let's read together. Romans chapter 16 from verse 3 to 5. 1, 2, go. Meet Priscilla and Aquila, and my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Wow. Verse 5. Okay, Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. Colossians 4, 15. Let's read it together. It's on the screen. 1, 2, go. And finally, Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Okay, introduction. The major reason and aim of this study is to strengthen our house fellowship churches. Let's say amen. I know it's good for our house fellowship churches to be strengthened. You believe? They need to be strengthened. It says, with a view of to making them a more effective channel in the hand of the Lord to bless his people. House fellowship, by the mercy of God, is not a modern idea. It's not something that started because for whatever reason. It is, but the scriptures we read showed, especially the ones in the New Testament scriptures we read, showed that house fellowship or church in the house is another way of saying house fellowship, is a scriptural thing. It is something that was very common, particularly in the church of the Gentiles. Apart from the time when we had the first major crusade in the Bible, that is after the ascension of Jesus, when Peter preached and 3,000 people were saved. They used to meet, they said every day, they used to meet every day in the temple, every day in the temple. Now, apart from that operation, outside, when the gospel began to spread, especially to the nations of the Gentiles, they didn't have a temple. They didn't have a collective place of gathering. So one of the things that was that helped each locality in that regard was to have houses. They used to meet in brethren's houses. Now, this was the technology. I read a book a couple of years ago. Someone described how Paul used to do evangelism. Paul would enter a town, go to the market, ask for the tent makers, because he was a professional tent maker, sit down with them, ask them for work. They would give him a job. He'll be mending tents, and then talk to one person. Preach to that person gets converted, talks to another. And because of the weight and the burden, or let's use the word, the anointing upon the man of God, it was so profound that they would invite him to his house. In those days, you see, those days, they used to tell, Jesus even said that those days, when you go to preach and you knock on a door, if they invite you into their house, say you come in, you bless them, etc. So you go to their house, and then before you know it, the whole house is converted, and then you keep going back for follow-up, visiting them. Before you know it, the king begins to spread. And that is how, from house to house, churches were established. Now, it's good for us to know, and we trust God for a whole lot of mind renewal in this regard. When you hear the word church, a lot, if God can help our minds to be adjusted in that regard, it will do a whole lot in helping us understand even scriptures. When you hear church, we have all been trained from time we were big children to view church as a building. That is not, or to use our parlance, in the beginning it was not so. Church has never really been a physical building. If it was a physical building, that means a bomb blast can destroy the church. No bomb blast can destroy the church. No bomb blast. Because the church is not first and foremost a building. Now, we have centers of worship. Now, if you know the history of centers of worship, you know that it wasn't entirely... I believe somewhere there's a bit of a stopgap measure to that. See all those scriptures we read in the New Testament. He says, salute the church in your house. So we know automatically that the church is not a building. No basilica. You know what a basilica is? You know, we have fellowship center. We have church. We have cathedral. Then we have basilica. You understand? They say basilica. Those are church 10,000, as in very large, monumental of buildings that were built in those days when the Dark Ages was reigning. But let's all go to that. The definition of church according to the Spirit are people. Say church are people. It's not first and foremost a building. So when it says salute the church in their house, the church is wherever saints gather in the name of Jesus. That's church. Wherever saints gather in the name of Jesus, that's church. And it's good for you to know, because there's no time you leave church. Once you wake up in the morning, church has woken up. Let's say amen. While you go to work, church has gone to work. If you have that mentality, you know this mentality of going to church. Let me not do some things in church. So when you come in, be silent. But outside, you can shout at the top of your voice because you are outside of church. At no time did you leave church. May you never leave church. Amen. Let's say amen. Our safety is to be in the church. So church in the house is showing us the original mind behind the definition of church. Church is a gathering of people. So and throughout the scripture, you see that when you see building, when we say God is building a city, one of my friends once told me years ago, he saw a vision. The Lord told him, build me a city. He said, he said, what came to his mind was the stadium, you know, stadium like facility with a crusade ground, a maternity center. The guy went far in his mind, and he said, the Holy Ghost interjected. I said, shh, I'm talking about people, build people. So the Lord's mind behind church has always been people. When you see scriptures talking about buildings, you are God's building. It's not charity pavilion. That's not the church. If we don't go there, do you know what's happened to what they call quote unquote churches in the Western world today? Most of them are roller skating zones now. People use them because they are very large. They use them to, you know, this roller skating, this skateboarding, you know, they put ramps and you go up and you go down. Some use them for cinemas. So that is not the church. The church is not the building. The church is you and I. So wherever we gather, or wherever the Lord commands us to gather, he's telling us that his presence is there. So that we don't think that... Now, I know there's a place of corporate anointing. When we gather, there's a blessing, and we should gather like this. But the Lord is not handicapped in meeting you in your house fellowship. The Lord, the intensity of the Lord, what ruins our experience in house fellowship is our heart state towards it. We do not see it as a gathering the way, maybe because pastor is not there physically and the pastorate is not sitting in front, and then maybe you have issues with the pastor of the house fellowship somehow. Maybe he looked at you one kind, he didn't like it. I just know it's not Pastor Maker, so I know they cannot be anointed here. No, the Lord is there. Now, when we come with a mind that we are coming to meet the Lord, you will meet the Lord. Because it is a gathering of his people. He said, where the first scripture we read, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. He didn't specify who those two were. He didn't specify who those three was. He didn't say they were pastors. He didn't say they were prophets. He said two or three. Now, what the pastor or prophet or leader, as it were, banks on is the presence of the Lord. Because that's what makes the difference in any gathering. Why we are different from a football match. You know, football matches, concerts have more people gathering at once than church. These days we are having a lot of... I remember Lekki 98. Who remembers Lekki 98? Some of us were born in 1999, so you won't know Lekki 98. But Lekki 98, oh my God, who remembers Lekki 98? If you are old school, I know daddy will know Lekki 98. Ha! Lekki 98 shut down Lagos. Lekki 98 was when we had 1 million people gathered for a village vigil in Lekki. Everybody was a believer, believed you have to be there. A believer, Lagos was shut down. All of us were heading towards Lekki 98. Yes, we are going to Lekki 98. Just to be there. Some people did not get there. Why? Because of traffic. They did it on Third Mainland Bridge. But yes, it was shut down. Beautiful. But do you know that as beautiful as that is, and it is good, I'm not knocking it anyway, but I'm saying in terms of you relating with the head of the church, he does not need many. He does not need few. It is the state in which you come. Pastor Tyler Foster said something once that so blessed me. He said, if it was only Adam that ate that fruit and died, Jesus would have still come to die. That thing so blessed me. Shows you about the individual interest the Lord has in you and I. Say, if it was only Adam that came, it wasn't because there were many. Say, hey, there are too many. No. It's we that sometimes do not appreciate the weight of a soul. Jesus said, what can it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That means the whole world and soul, incomparable. So I'm saying all this to say that the Lord will help us not to undermine in our hearts and our minds the place of our fellowship, especially because the numbers are few. In fact, the numbers are few to your advantage. Let's say amen. It's very much to your advantage. Everybody knows things start spoiling when they get big. God will help us. Let's say amen. That's not our case, but we'll push on. So I will just get that background so that we'll know this is the line of thought I believe the Lord will have us journey along. House fellowship is a blessing. Let's say house fellowship is a blessing. And it will be a blessing to us when we understand it and see it the way the Lord is going to cause us to see it, especially as he has put a burden in our daddy's heart. Let's say amen. Okay, so we looked at a bit of the scriptural background, but let's push forward. It says, the Lord, scriptural background now, the Lord is the one that sets the solitary in families. One of my favorite scriptures. The Lord sets the solitary in families. Psalm 66, verse 8. Or 68, verse 6. So the Lord sets the solitary in families. The Lord is the one that... Why did he do that? You know, of all animals that was used to describe church, the one they picked is the most communal of animals. In fact, who was sharing something with me recently? Okay, it was my wife. She was sharing something with me about a ram. Said a ram. Yes, 68 verse 6. Thank you very much. God set the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that shall bound with chains, but the rebels dwell in the dry land. So God sets the solitary in families. Now, my wife was describing to me something about ram. Said a ram does not thrive alone. It can fall sick by itself. That it doesn't eat well. Our professional is telling me, yes, it's true. They don't thrive on by themselves. Now, why did the Lord pick that of all animals? He didn't say my fox know my voice. He didn't say my baboons follow me. He said sheep. Why? Because sheep, it's not as though it was an attribute that was the most prominent attribute of that creature that best described the state of the church. We don't thrive well alone. Now, you can be in a crowd and be alone. If one of the easiest ways to be alone, if flesh teaches you sense, is to be in a crowd. One of the easiest ways to be alone, if flesh teaches you sense, is to be in a crowd. Be in a crowd that you can hide. In fact, you don't even have to walk. If you've ever been for a large gathering, where, you know, some of us used to go to stadium to watch football. But I never did. I'm just saying some of us. I just identify with you. I never went. But you've gone for crusades sometimes. Those days when I go for, you know, God gatherings. If you don't want to walk, you have to walk. Because people are moving. Person in front of you, people are pushing you back. You can just, sometimes I'll just think, if I just jump and just stand. As the crowd is moving, they are moving me. And anywhere they are moving to, I'm moving. And you think we are all moving together. If you do that for 25 years, project, if you do that for 25 years, one thing that will happen to you naturally is that your muscles in your leg will die. Then when they leave you, you actually find, this guy was not actually walking at all. If flesh teaches you sense, the easiest place to be alone is in a crowd.
So as we grow bigger, and we are going to get bigger than this, this hall is too small. This hall is already too small. It's not prophecy, it's too small. Many people didn't come. If we say everybody, in fact, come to the fact, say, commandment. You know, we like commandments. Everybody in New Aliveway Church, home and abroad, must attend. Eternal life is at stake. I know you like those things. You will come. And then we will now see that this place, this foundation cannot support the weight of New Aliveway Church members. It can't. But as we get that big, the Lord is also mindful. Somebody once said, the Lord that made the whole heavens and the whole earth is holding all the billions of stars in their place. Is the same God that if you pray to him, he will give you parking space. Say, Lord, I need parking space as I'm going out. He has enough. So as large as he is, he's not oblivious of the details. You can't fly under the radar with the Lord, though. You can't. That he's not said anything doesn't mean he has not seen. And in a bid to make our salvation program whole, he set up in his wisdom what we call house fellowship. He's the one that set it up. He sets the solitary in families. Why does he remove the solitary from family? Well, for one, he has never experienced that solitary thing. In the beginning, it was always us. In fact, before beginning, it was us. So when he saw Adam alone, he said, it's not good. Alone. There was nobody to reason at his capacity. So let me bring him into a company. And he put a woman by his side. So company is key. Say company. Is key to spiritual development. Being in a company is key to spiritual development. If the enemy wants to deal with you, he will first of all separate you. He can separate you by dropping you lower. I'm not worthy. Or separate you by raising you higher. I'm unique. It's just to remove you from the mist so he can deal with you personally. Because it's not easy to deal with a company. It's not easy. Bible says two is better than one. Behold, a threefold cord is not easily broken. One day I had an experience. Myself, Pastor Ayo, Pastor Yola, we went for a naming. I think it was Sister Ife's naming. And I didn't drive. I took a bike near my house. So Pastor Yola and Pastor AY came. And because the road, they were fixing the road. So they had to park somewhere. And they parked in front of a closed shop. Just parked. By the time we came back, two of the tires were down. Two tires. And then we built, it was somebody's shop. And it's two women. Two fairly large women. And when you see their face, you know that, prepare for war. So we all came back, you know, from the naming, feeling so good, so much spirit, so much. And then lo and behold, two men, flat tires. You know, two flat tires. So that means you have to go and get a vulcanizer and all that. So there was three of us. So we look, without going to the shop, mama, they say, hey, why are you packing for the shop? I say, Emma Binu, Pastor Eva, Emma Binu. And he just turned everything into a joke. So he went to get a vulcanizer. So none of us had cash. Now the woman had a POS machine. So we said, we need money to pay the vulcanizer. So where's POS? Let me confess. Because I'm telling you, let me know, it's good to be in a company. If you're alone, sometimes you misbehave. And the reason why you have opportunity to misbehave, because you don't have brethren around you. So it's not just them watching you, it's grace. It's just something about, together, we are together. Let's hold together. If not be me, go fall the hand of this company. Not be me. Yes! And if you do that long enough, it becomes a nature. After a while, you naturally will never fall our hand again. Let's say amen. Uh-huh. So, and I was confessing something. So when I looked, I saw POS. I said, how will I go? Somebody deflated my tire and go and personalize her. But thank God for Pastor Yola. Pastor says, will I be checking? See POS said, I beg. Mama, I said, any POS? Yes, I knew. She must say, but I must have 200. Mama. Before we know it, I'm telling you, 5 minutes later, they came. What are you, Pastor? Ni? Sir, she pa, no, she Pastor, I want Johnny. Say, what are Pastor? No, Pastor, ni. Sir, Pastor, ni, why? No. So we started laughing. The woman now went to help us look for, you know, she threw the vexation must have been great. You know, the caps of turned, she had thrown all the way. She went to best looking for them. She picked them. Say, I'm a binu. Say, yeah, pray for us. We don't know why your business will prosper. Amen. Say, shoo. And so, when we left there, I said, Kai. Pastor Wana said, He knows that if it was only one person, we can't pass this test. I said, Pastor, in my mind, I don't fail them already. Because I would not have gone there to do, I will trek and go and look for POS. What is it? So, togetherness. Now, if you understand that, you know, somebody would be saying, okay, but are we not taught together here? No. You can be sitting in church next to somebody for 1 year and you probably never greeted the person. But you see, house fellowship, you must interact. You must interact. You will know the person's name at least. So he said, so you see, that certainly solitary in families is the wisdom of the Lord for preserving our seed as it grows. If the seed is not preserved, it will not prosper. If it doesn't prosper, we are the one that loses. Let's say amen. Okay, so God sets the solitary in families. Now in church, outside of the gatherings of saints pertaining to functions in the church, like one of the also other wisdoms we have in church gatherings are departments, you know. Our departments, I thank God for the way the Lord helps most of the departments here. They are like mini churches, you know. You know, your HOD is almost like your pastor, you know, and some of us have been helped in that regard. It's good. It has its place. But outside of that, and we see examples of that, like the deacons that were set apart to sort out helps ministry in the book of Acts. Stephen, we believe, being the head, they would have probably been meeting to pray. I'm sure when they were commissioned, say, Lord, this task, help us to do it well. They probably have a meeting so they can do it well. Apart from that, one other wisdom the Lord has left for us to cater for the larger, so that each sheep is individually dealt with, is house fellowship. House fellowships are major points of fellowship and interaction among saints. Let's say amen. You know, Daddy said something when he was introducing the series about the importance of fellowship. Now, our fellowship is twofold. Fellowship with God and fellowship with brethren. Fellowship with God and fellowship with brethren. The two, they go hand in hand. You cannot say you love the Lord and then you have no brother you're fellowshipping with. For every other brother, the Lord is the only one that is worthy of your audience. Everybody else is too low. I fear no man. I fear only my God. It's a lie. You don't fear God. Because your God is in all those brethren. When you see him face to face, you'll be so surprised. It's not what you think. You know, I had a revelation 2 or 3 years ago. That thing still pains me till tomorrow. I saw Bobo. I know the Lord says Bobo, Daddy's son. Playing by a fence. Like by a fence. Just playing on the ground. Just playing there. You know, Bobo, I was much younger now. Now he's almost, in fact, I'm sure he's my height now. A smaller version of Bobo. Playing. You know, a child will play. You know when, like I saw this morning, I saw Riju Baba. Riju, aka Akogu. He picked a stone. His father picked a stone and gave it to him. I said, ha! So I said, your father's genes. You know, because that stone is very important to him. More important than any other thing. That stone. It's important to you know the children. So that's where I just saw this very plain. And the Lord said to me, He said, you'll be shocked that that's exactly how I am. I know the despite that was in my heart when I saw, I said, what's this boy playing with this stone? What just caught me was that the Lord is not who we think. He's very easy to despise. Very, very, very easy to despise. Now, one way we easily despise him is in brethren. It's in brethren. One is we really, so fellowship with brethren is key. And not the kind of fellowship that we want. You know, there's fellowship that flesh satisfies. There's only so far you can go. But the kind of fellowship with Lord true house fellowship will instigate or will bring forth is that you will intertwine. Now, in that intertwining, when things are being intertwined, when there's a knitting together, it's not always a totally pleasant process. But at the end, what's going to be achieved is a unity that will call for the blessing. The blessing that we read in Psalm 133. There is a blessing that must land. I know this study is, I believe, I stand to be corrected, that this study is in line with everlasting life. If we want to prosper in everlasting life, house fellowship has to be tight. Has to be not what it is now. We still have in mind of going to house fellowship just to fulfill our righteousness. We are not seeing everlasting life in view. But now, with understanding, we are seeing that, look, there the Lord commanded the blessing. Behold how present it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That dwelling together in unity cannot be done in aloofness. You just stand aloof and you think, brethren. No, brethren will interject in your matters. Somebody will come and use your slippers. Somebody will come to your house and sit on your settee and break the arm of it. Someone will come with muddy shoes and just come in and enter the house and mash your carpet. If you are like that, repent. If you are like that, repent. It's not good. Because one day when they eat you, own a carpet too. I that in the pain. If you are like that, repent. But I'm saying that level of interaction is required for the blessing. So when he said dwell together in unity, I like that word dwell. Somebody say dwell. There is a visit occasionally in unity. Hallelujah. It is a visit occasionally in unity, which is what Sunday service is. We are all together here. Wow, because you are on time. You are timing it. I just have to endure her for another 4 hours. The way you got. But they said dwell. Somebody said dwell. The closest thing to this is brother living in your house. After that is house fellowship. Every Wednesday. Heat. Because we are many. Then they will come. And then there's no space to sit. They'll sit on the arm of your chair. They'll sit on the ground. Then mosquitoes will be dealing with you because they open the quacka, 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 quacka. Then the mother will say, close the door! The Lord is awesome. But they said, dwell. The end of it is there the Lord commanded the blessing. That's the end of it too. The end of it is the commanded seat. There. Where is there? In that fellowship, in that unity. So any spirit of aloofness we have, we die. It must die. It is incompatible with everlasting life. Because everlasting life is a life of three. First and foremost, it's in three. It was not a solitary thing. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. There's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Or these three is one. They are one, is one. And that one, their common denominator was that everlasting life or eternal life. So it has never been a solitary thing. So you will never come to it solitarily. Never. It's not possible. Because that's not the order that the owner said he's going to obey or follow to give it to you. Let's say amen. Okay, over and over again for manuals, we see in the New Testament the mentioning of house fellowship or house or home churches, both in the book of Acts and the epistles. It is good to know at this juncture that most of the references made to church meetings in the New Testament were made with reference to house churches. Let's say amen. Let's read, let's pick two from there. Let's pick Acts chapter 10, verse 24 to 27. Acts chapter 10, verse 24 says, and on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called his kinsmen and near friends. And Peter coming in, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And he talked with them, and they went. And as he talked with them, he went in and found that they were come together. And that experience of Cornelius brought his entire household together. We all know the story of what happened. The Holy Ghost came upon them and they were baptized. Let's also read Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts 8, 3. See, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. So his access to the church were houses. He was going to brethren's houses where people were gathering, going to their houses, hailing or arresting, or harassing women, men and women, committed them to prison. New Testament, we find church in the house. Church with all those first scriptures we read in Colossians, in Philemon, and in Romans. Church in the house. Church in the house. Church in the house. Because as we said earlier, that's where the Lord has organized for you not to fly under the radar of salvation. Let's say amen. Amen. It says this was especially true amongst the Gentile churches where there was no temple for the newly converted saints to gather daily. We said that, in the beginning. You know, it's good for us to let me give you small church history. When in times of great persecution, churches used to gather underground churches. They used to find places to gather, scattered. They used to do intelligence report notes, just all sorts of things. In fact, at the time when Paul was going to be beheaded by Nero, Nero was anointed of the devil. Anybody that can behead Paul must be anointed of the devil. But Sir? He was an antichrist. Rome burns Nero fiddles. He burnt Rome and accused the Jews. Said it's the church that burnt Rome. And then started using church. In fact, some of those things can just make you angry. Anyhow, so, yeah, it can make you angry. It's your genealogy. These are your forefathers that they were burning like that. Abana. Anyhow, sure. Sorry. So, in those days, apart from the temple, it was house to house. House to house. House to house. Underground stuff. Underground stuff. In fact, I think after 70 AD, when the temple was routed, it was purely house to house. There was no gathering where people gathered together. At most, maybe they gathered under a tree. All of a sudden, the devil changed dealings. Constantine became born again. Whether it's true or not, I have no way of knowing. I was not there. Quote unquote, he became born again. All of a sudden, the noble places of worship of saints, where they were contented with, let me give you a modern example. Imagine, let's say, some notable, wealthy Nigerian gets born again. And our church was probably the first classroom in Vokes when we started. You remember Vokes, that classroom that Pastor Ewa described yesterday, that one used to dodge from and sneak into. Remember? If you listen to RH yesterday. But that, remember, that was just one small classroom. Now imagine at that time, I don't want to mention any name. One, not two. Okay, let me mention international. Let's say Bill Gates gets born again. I say, you should come to your church. And he enters. Oh, no, no, no. It's hot here. Could we buy this whole place? I can do that. What? All of a sudden, the persecution had gone. Abundance now came. They started building things. It was not there in the beginning. Started building things. Before you know it, no, Constantine can't worship here under a tree. No, it has to be a palace, a palatial. You know the way they built those old churches? Palatial. It was in response to their coming in. In the beginning, it was not so. It was not so. We were content under trees. It was heathen. That's it. It was heathen. And that is true, sir. Pastor, you need, brother need to hear this. Just this
sentence. Praise God. He's trying to cite a little bit of church history. Now, I also want to encourage us. Some of us might just need to read it up a little bit. Now, temple, churches, cathedral. What he's trying to emphasize is that church is not a temple. That's in the physical. Or a cathedral. Let's use the word cathedral. Or a basilica as we have it today. Because the early churches, up till, you know, Constantine, the time of Emperor Constantine, they were meeting in houses of brethren under the tree by the seaside. You know, that was where Paul met this woman, Lydia. Yeah, they meet every Sunday by the seaside, and that was how the church was until Emperor Constantine, you know, supposedly conquered, got born again, conquered, and then institutionalized churches. And then a whole lot of people began to come into church. And when they come into church, they don't want to go to the seaside or the homes under the tree or in the home of some of these peasants where they were using their home, you know. They now wanted, initially, temples were built for hedonistic gods. And so these are heathens that just came to church. Some of them came to church not being born again, but because of political reasons. Some of them were born again, but they felt, we cannot keep meeting in your house. Your house is too small, or your house is not well kept. Why don't we have a temple like we used to have for Zeus or for Diana? That was how the issue of temple came into church.
How many of us are blessed? So his church history is important. Now, somebody's now asking a question. Somebody's asking, really? Then why are you building charity pavilion? Somebody's asking, So you two are doing hedonistic. You know, they are brethren. God bless their hearts. I used to be part of such a company that we believed. No, we don't build buildings. Anybody, if you build buildings, it's Babylon. I believed it for years. I preached it. I could teach it from scriptures. If I taught it to somebody, I'm regretting it. That thing came out of my mouth because I confused the poor fellow. In fact, it's still a pain to tomorrow. Not just one person. In fact, Lord have mercy. It's more than one. because I had energy then. And you know, then I know I then Jesus, I was a disaster waiting to happen. But so you always say, why are we building charity pavilion? Why are we building charity pavilion? If that is the case,
don't worry, we'll answer it because of the study. Cliffhanger. I don't want to go into that because that would take us off. This is the beginning of the study. Sure, you know, it's four lessons. Don't worry, it will be answered. Let's say amen. Do you believe it will be answered? It will be answered. Okay. Where are we? This was especially true amongst... Okay. Next paragraph. It is important to stress this truth because we as members of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ sometimes find it difficult to relate with the importance of house fellowship. Yeah. So as we have seen and read, house fellowship church is as important, if not more, to the individual saint than temple, synagogue, or church building fellowship. That's to the individual. If in obeying God, according to scriptures, we congregate in the temple or church building, we should further obey God in congregating from house to house. Meet in our own house fellowship church. Let's say amen. Number one, it's an obedience. Now, that should be enough reason for us to do anything. If the Lord gives a commandment, you don't need to, first of all, understand it. Obey it. As you obey it, you will see the importance of it. But the issue of house fellowship was not designed by man. It was designed by the Lord. And we've done a little bit of explanation of how it is a calculated warfare against individualism of flesh. Because flesh is the nature of the tiger. Tiger is a solitary animal. Tiger needs nobody and nobody needs a tiger. It just stands by itself, alone. But sheep is used to describe us. And sheep are congregational by nature. They do not do well on their own. So you and I will also not do well. The Lord was not being funny when he just decided to describe us as sheep. It was pointing to a nature that is for all our survival. And that is how we will thrive, especially in things of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So the importance of house fellowship is what we want to look at next. Importance of house fellowship. Let's look at Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Titus 1, 5. Okay. Thank you. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. Now these elders were to oversee little companies of brethren as they were scattered all over the city of Crete. Let's say amen. So these elders could be termed house fellowship leaders because we were, as Pastor has described, where we had five brethren, which is what we're also doing in the church today. When we have five brethren gathering together, we will have a house fellowship there because the Lord is mindful of everyone. So one is for effective pastoring. See, as an assembly gets bigger, the inevitable byproduct of this numerical expansion will be that proximity to authority is decreased. Let's say amen. What do I mean by that? We mean that somebody once told me that I told that I can't see pastor. Say me, I can never see pastor. So why? Say no. I understand where she's coming from. But we all know that pastor is very approachable. Let's say amen. Abby, that's the example we've seen. Pastor is extremely approachable. I know. He's good. He's a good heart state. He's not done. Oh, yo, pastor. Yeah, that's my pastor. No, that was not good. That's not good. That's a bit irreverent. No. It's good. I like it. It's good. You have a certain level of awe and reverence around graces. It's for safety. It's okay. But if pastor decided to, he can't even do it. As pastor said, he's not Superman. There's no way. Even if he spends time trying to know all of our names, he will know no time for study Bible. So every morning, for reading all the names of church members, so that you can see a picture. This it's not database. That's not how to make a church effective. Now I know sometimes some graces can come upon a shepherd to know things like that, as in know names and all that. I see that a lot with pastor. Pastor knows names. Who? Pastor knows people. God knows. And I know it's the grace upon pastor. But we are getting larger, and as we get larger, some of us may never have that direct one-on-one with pastor. But one thing the Lord has made me realize, and I it's so true, that if you are lying under the grace in the house, the grace of pastor that's upon pastor will pastor you without you even seeing him physically. I got that example for somebody who went around with Papa Hagen, one of his sons, went around with him. He said he probably had two conversations with him. And I think he had been around with Papa Hagen for like a year or two. And then Papa Hagen was going to introduce him one place. He says, okay, I want you to share. He said, I want you to share. He said, I'm going to bring one of my sons up. I taught him everything. He's like, eh?
So I taught him everything he knows. He said this. He said, that's a lie. He said, I've had only two conversations with this man the whole year. He said, but he had said he had enough sense to know that this is his father-in-law. There's something he's seeing that he's probably not seeing. So he said the thing troubled him because, if you have a very, the man came from Oneness Brethren, very straight. You know, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you know. So he said, how can my father say something that's so untrue? No. So it troubled him. He said, the Holy Ghost had to tell him, said, as long as you are aligned under that grace, you obeyed me. I told you, go and help Brother Hagin. You stayed there and you helped him. That grace pastored you. All you came to is through him, even though you had only two conversations. Now, some of you may not have one conversation with him, with daddy. But if you align under the instituted grace, that grace will pastor you. It will pastor you. It is the Lord. You see, sometimes we forget it is Jesus that is doing this thing. Jesus is not incapacitated. He doesn't care. He's not his blood has catered for. Do you know how many people have died? The population of people that have died. Now, not 6 billion that are on earth now. Throughout the history of man, you know how many people have died? That blood is enough to cater for every human being from the time from Adam till the end. So he's not incapacitated in any way. What just deals with us is that sometimes we don't like his methods. So we do not honor that alignment. Now the Lord set up House Fellowship so that he can connect a grace. The House Fellowship leader is not standing there in his capacity. And that's why we as House Fellowship, because you know sometimes you are sharing things in the House Fellowship like, wow. It's not you. You are aligned under somebody. The Lord Jesus is pouring grace. He pours it through the under shepherd. The under shepherd has made that has key in on them and aligned accurately on them. You will contact that grace. And Jesus will be able to reach his sheep the way he wants to reach them. That's why we're always shouting alignment. Because it is our blessing. Electrical engineers, circuit, connect the circuit. If there's a break, current will not flow. So one of the ways why we said effective pastoring is that in house fellowship you have the opportunity to connect with pastor. You can connect with pastor. Some people don't believe it, but it is true. You don't believe it because somewhere in your heart you are still struggling with the issue of authority. You are seeing personality instead of authority. Even if you have no, somebody said, even if you do not respect the person, say respect the office. Now, it's difficult. You don't respect the person, you will despise that office. But he said, even if you don't, that person, where he's standing. And we do it normally. You may hate the policeman from now to tomorrow. But if he says stop, you will stop. You will stop. Why will you stop? You will be grumbling there, but you have stopped. And God help you, maybe the old policeman stopping helped you. He stopped you, which is the case in pastoral things most of the time. He stopped you because there's riot in front. But because you're on the valley and he's the hill, he stands there. He says, stop. He says, what is stopping me for? You turn to a beep. And then when the road that clear says you should go, you now see dead boys left and right. You will go back. You and I will go back and go and give that policeman money. To go back. Nigerian police are effective. They are this. You did not understand. But you respected the authority. You just respected the office. And that was so saved you. Now, that heart is not complete in following spiritual authority. There's no law that you must love policemen, but you must love your pastor. You must love your pastor because it helps you better connect with the grace. Don't obey grumbly because you will not eat the good of the land. If you are obedient and you're not willing, you won't eat the good of the land. But that consciousness must hit you that, look, pastor can pastor you effectively through your house fellowship. The pastor's gone a whole lot, and we've been praying from December or January over house worship because pastor is very mindful of the fact that all house worship centers must be a representation of the grace of Jesus. It must be. That is how we'll all prosper. And if that labor has gone into it, then you don't say, no, I have to speak to pastor. It's only pastor that can hear this thing. Amen. Well, it's not as though being a pastor under pastor, I'm looking for information. No, God knows I have enough information of my own. There are some things I've heard that I wish I never heard as a pastor. I say, oh God, because your pastors are always sitting on pastor, you're sitting on kegs of contract. And if you are God help you be a pastor, you like to talk, they will keep that in you. No, I want to share. There are some things that must die with you. There are some things they must just die with you. Even your wife will not probably ever hear them. They must just die with you because that's the heart of a shepherd. Do you know all your secrets are with Jesus? Sure, you know all your secrets are with Jesus. Do you think he has told all of them to pastor? Some of us, if we are pastors, we want to know everything about everybody. You just die. You don't need it. It's the one that at part time he reveals. So that alignment, it's coming again and again. You can be effectively pastored in your house fellowship by a pastor without seeing pastor. Connect to the grace. Me, I say, it's not possible for pastor to be wrong on my matter. It's not possible. It is not possible. Say, what is the pastor? It cannot happen. Why? Because Jesus can never be wrong. Say, Jesus, I am going to your shepherd. Your counsel for me is in his mouth. Jesus will talk. Ha! It's not sometimes we don't like what Jesus said. And that's what we heard yesterday. That means we hate somewhere. Go and listen to that RH. If you didn't, you missed it. If you missed that RH yesterday, go and listen to it. To hate is not far-fetched. Just to disagree with certain authorities and look for your ways. It's a form of hatred. God will help us. So it's for effective pastoring. You are pastored better because the numbers are less. The pastor can know you one-on-one. He can speak to you about your matters. You know, when it's not easy. You know, if you have two children, God, you know how hard it is. Two of them want your attention at the same time. Sometimes may I run away. They are not here. Daddy, you have them 20. You will pack out. Now, pastor cannot deal with everybody, so you have to have assistant daddies. For want of a better phrase, under just to hear, and some of them, I thank God for the pastors that are under pastor. Some of them says, this thing passed me, or even me, if I had this problem, I can't cancel myself. Excuse me, sir, what do you think about this? And that is the order. So please don't have a mind that house fellowships are not effective. They're as effective as your alignment in your heart. They're as effective as your alignment in your heart. May we better align in the name of Jesus. So one key thing is effective pastoring. The mind set behind house fellowship is that all of us are well catered for. Some of us, your marriage issues, your those things to do with your courtship, they are dealt with at house fellowship level. Because pastor will hear. Pastor will definitely hear. If it goes out of hand, if it's something that you know the pastors cannot handle by reason of the grace levels, because grace levels differ, Pastor Tokba will be the first to tell you, and I line under that look, there's some things you just cannot handle. In fact, you don't even want to handle, because some of those things, you don't just handle them, you are dealing with the spirits. And you don't have authority to handle those spirits. You just leave it. But excuse me, sir. Pastor, there is this side here. Somebody here. And pastor has the capacity to deal with it. Do we understand? Praise the Lord. Effective pastoring. The second importance of house fellowship, it is a place of stronger fellowship with God's, with one another as God's people. Let's say amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Very common scripture. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Those some are brethren. Those some are believers. Those some are believers that believed a lie somewhere that told them that they were higher than the house. You know, you're not higher than the house. Sometimes we feel that our revelation makes us higher than the house. Sometimes we feel like our dealings make us higher than the house. Sometimes we feel like our sufferings make us higher than the house. Nobody's higher than the house. Nobody's higher than the house. Nobody is higher. Tell your neighbor, you are not higher than the house. Tell your neighbor, I am not higher than the house. We are part of the house. Can a window be higher than the house? Window. You can't. It's a component in the house. So if we are members in the house, as the Bible says, members of that one body, members in particular, we are not higher than the body. So if the body, if just for any reason, the body has instituted an order called house fellowship, we are blessed when we align. Let's say amen. Now, fellowship with the saints is a key component of the Christ life. In truth, there is no proper spiritual growth without close interaction with saints. Let's say amen. On Thursday, Pastor Tokwe was blessing us. The Lord was blessing us through Pastor Tokwe at School of the Spirit. And something that leapt out that stayed with me, the pastor mentioned, was the issue that 1 Corinthians 13 you read. So all those issues, all those things that were mentioned, every one of them is in the context of brethren. Say, love is patient. Patient to who? Pet? Car? It's brethren. Kind. Kind to who? Mosquito? Brethren, everything is in the context of brethren. And I began to see after that when Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is like, all those things were natures in context, in the context of brethren. That is why the Lord said, there he commands blessing. Kingdom, as Pastor Ewa said yesterday, so much blessing. That kingdom is first and foremost a conversation. It's not a location. It's a conversation that gives you access eventually to a location. You know we are not heaven bound the day you got born again. You are earth bound. New earth bound. To become heaven bound, you need to learn a high conversation of it. You need to learn the ethics, high ethics of that kingdom. That is what everlasting life or eternal life is teaching you. So that foray into that understanding of kingdom being a conversation or everything around your obedience, 99.9% of it is tied to brethren. It's tied to brethren. Then you know that there's no true spiritual growth without interacting with brethren. Now, house fellowship gives us that unavoidable opportunity. House fellowship will help you interact. And that's why I believe the Lord, so much the Lord will be inspiring us to do in house fellowships. Still in line with word and prayer, but there will be togetherness. So like we have this love commandment, we are being cross course of the week, right? Right? We have picked people. Who has picked their person or their people? Some of us have been inspired to pick like 3 or 4, you know, because 3 or 4 people have offended you. You have just been offended. So now you will pray. Now, next time, you will tell, nobody's offending me again. I'm not offended at you. At least offense will be dealt with. So that's you see, it's in context. You see, we said end is near. Daddy taught us 1 Peter chapter 4. End is near. So now do fervent charity. To who? It's to brethren. No, Lord, I just love you. It's you alone I love. No, it's brethren. It's brethren. Brethren. It's brethren. It's brethren. So truly, there's no real spiritual growth without interacting with brethren. See, isolated faith is untested and therefore cannot be trusted. I believe I am patient. I am the most patient person. In fact, patience is my middle name. TJ Patience. I think, okay, they will put you in brethren. Or you just, I'm patient, and you just see traffic light red. Now, just look at your heart. Don't, just look at the way you feel. When you see red lights, they're coming to church in the morning, you see red lights. It may never come out, but that thing was, it rang a right major bell in the realm of the spirit. They all saw it. So all of us said, wow, he's so calm. They know you. Your enemies know you. Evil spirits, they know you. How would they put that patience in you? And they will bring a brother to your house that you will leave at 7 o'clock. And is that 7 o'clock? As Moses said, that's why we'll be carrying bucket. Say, Pastor, I'm coming. No, I'm coming with bucket of water. Unless it's me, that person will trek. I used to be very bad. Pastor Yola said I've changed because he knows me well. He said, I used to be very bad. One day, in fact, I'm not ashamed to say it. Why should I say it? Say your own. Somebody says, say. Kai. Thank God for growth. Hey, thank God for spiritual growth. It's good to grow. Babies are not complete. Babies are not complete. I left somebody at home with the person's car. I took the person's car. I came to church. I left the person. Have you had? Is that not quarter to madness? Because I said the person is late. The owner of the car. That person is not okay. I'm sorry, that person has been crucified. They have, no, it's not me. It's not me. I can't even identify with that person again. I think I went and I say, all in the name of being on time for church. Because church, you come early. And then you took somebody's car. You didn't enter bus, though. Stupid boy. You didn't enter bus. You took the person's car. I left. I left the owner of the car at home. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Up until then, I had a testimony that I was patient. For the person I left, it's the person that told me that I'm patient. Don't allow people to give you a badge. It's 419. Oh, I like you, sir. You're so... Somebody helped me in the course of the week. Say, Kai, you're a teacher at a trip. And the team was tripping me. I said, yes, I can teach. I just had to tell myself, oh boy, this is a verdict of men. Oh. This man does not know you at all. As far as they are concerned, you can't do anything. Because they healed Herod. And see what happened to him. Hallelujah. Are we getting something? Okay, the isolated self-preservation nature of flesh usually seeks a solitary life. The first thing Adam did after sin was to do what? hide himself. What was he trying to hide from? From the presence of God. Close proximity to God's people will expose and deal with fleshly attributes that are very much with us, thus giving us the maturity to rise in the spirit. Let's say amen. So you in your house fellowship, you have interactions with brethren that you might not have had. You just have a Sunday. You say, I've survived Sunday. Then you have one extra week now in close proximity with people. And one thing I've discovered in house fellowship is that the Lord is the one that arranges them. See, everybody in that your house fellowship is for your salvation. Everybody in that your own house fellowship. So don't port. Say, I don't like Shibiri house fellowship. I will travel. I will say, you have to labor for the meter pension. I will travel to Pastor Maker's house. That's, I like that house fellowship. Stay in your own house fellowship. Because your own house fellowship is the church in your house. You see, the evil spirit that's stopping you is the common to all of you in that area. If you go to pastor's house, it's a different one. You will not have grace. And then they'll just look at this one. This is a misfit. If I leave him intact, let him deal. Let his darkness continue to fester. Leave him. Brothers, in your own, there's an arrangement to deal with it. You know, we are all cultured by atmospheres. Stay in Lagos long enough, you become a Lagosian in your soul. And it will play out. You stay in Shomolu long enough, you have a printer soul. No printers, printer. Now, you that don't have printer demons disturbing you, you now come and say, no, I just like Pastor TJ's face. I am not going to Akoka, which is unilag spirit. You have printer spirit. You now bring unilag, you're not going to disturb all of us. Stay in your house fellowship, I beg. Okay. Sorry, this way is coming out. I'm very sorry, but it's important. I believe at the end of it, the Lord wants to exalt house fellowship in our hearts so that we can put Jesus down in those places. When we don't go, when we go there with the wrong mind, let us pass. Jesus will not come. He said, in my name. What it means to gather in his name is to gather in honor of him. He's here. I don't have to feel good people to know he's here. If I believe his word, I knew he's here. If I believe he's here, then I will act accordingly. Therefore, he can have a word for me here. I can hear from him here. Something. Some of us had found our spouses in our house fellowship. Yeah. At least I know of one. At least one. See, house fellowship, we found the spouse. Now imagine that brother was too anointed for house fellowship. Maybe you see me. Anyway, the Lord has the way he's arranged all our lives. Let's not be too sharp. God will help us. Next one is alignment under spiritual, alignment and submission to spiritual authority. The grace over the large assembly cascades to house fellowship. We've explained this. Let's say amen. If you want to contact the grace of the shepherd upon our daddy, you will connect it through a line of authority because it flows from, as you saw that scripture, flows from Aaron's head to the beard to his skirt. Those other parts represent his genealogy, his offspring, or they represent the flow of grace or the flow of life from Jesus through his graces to those that the Lord has placed in the heart of his grace to cascade those authorities upon. We see that also in the life of Moses when Jethro gave him advice. Jethro told Moses, this thing you are doing is not good. You will kill yourself. Gather their men, anoint them. And when they were anointed, they were able to function at the capacity of grace that he had instead of Moses. Because the Lord does not kill his servants. That's why one prayer you keep praying for, at least myself, I know all my brothers are under pastor. I want to be able to help pastor. I want to be able to help pastor. I was just confessing to my wife once day, I tried to help pastor with something and it was such a fumble. I said, I said, now wow. I said, I need more grace. He must not be under pressure where around me. Just part of you, imagine all those guys under Moses. None of them could do anything. Moses, I don't understand this one. Moses, I don't understand. Then why are you there? But they could connect the grace of Moses because it was the grace. They said, I will take of your spirit. That's what he said. I will take of your spirit and put upon them. That's what the Lord told Moses. And he did that. So anyone that wanted to connect the grace upon Moses connected it through those 70 elders. And it's the same grace. It's the same grace because the grace is a personality. Let's say amen. In truth, one stands a better chance of being reached both by the grace and the ear of spiritual authority. Yes, some of your cases, you wait in line here, waiting. I want to tell pastor by myself. I will tell pastor. You can't have the kind of proximity I have to pastor. It's just the way it is. If I say, pastor, I want to see you, and you say, pastor, I want to see you, pastor may look. If I press, he will put you aside. Why? Because I must be coming with something of great importance. Not that your matter is not important. No, it's not that. But there is a line for you to have that faster. Maybe it's what you want. You are supposed to have told your house fellowship leader. Say, no, I'll go and tell pastor direct. You now wait a line. And me, that all I have case file. You know, government hospital. You go to government hospital. If you know somebody there, your file will go in front. So the somebody you know is the house fellowship leader. Help me tell pastor. Now, sometimes, you know, sometimes I discover it's not that we want the problem solved. It's just that we want to tell pastor. Hey, why? I thought we should solve the problem and move on. I don't know. Why? No, pastor must hear this. Hey, yes, tell your house fellowship leader. Jump the queue. You can't have the kind of proximity. Why? Because me, at least, pastor will always pick my call. I'm a pastor. I have to. I will not come and say, Pastor, in fact, this morning, like, I have one beautiful sister. Bless, I love her so much. She's one of my, she calls, tells me everything. And it's good. I like it. But me, I don't carry for her. Pastor, hey, good morning, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, I woke up this morning. Sister, I want to greet you, sir. Hey, how are your day, sir? Hey, sir. I just love you, sir. Thank you, sir. It's good to do that. But after a while, it becomes a solenu. I don't want to put that in Yoruba. You know nothing you want to do. Now, imagine all of us did that. Pastor will never get his hand will just be like this. Autopic. Pastor, I want to greet you. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. No. So, if you have issues that you want to reach, if you have issues you want, let's say amen. If you have issues that you want the pastor to hear, go to your house relationship. You will get there. If pastor needs to hear, can you trust that if pastor needs to hear it, he will hear it? We don't want us to inundate pastors' ears with abundance of information. Just say, yes, pastors, my case is on pastor's desk. My case, pastor is on my case. Some of us like that. He said, yeah, no. I talk directly to pastor. I'm sorry, you are not wise. No. Pastor is my pastor. My Leo. You cannot be as close. You cannot, and I say this to other pastor, you cannot be as close as pastor to pastor as I am to pastor. You cannot be. By reason of order. It's by reason of what you cannot. It's not, and I will not. If you're angry with that, sorry. You should be angry with that. Say, no. I don't deal with you. You know, see, Pastor Tope and those his people there. No. I deal directly with Pastor. You are shooting. You know, I knew some of those people. Some of those people, you know, because Pastor is not just a pastor. Pastor is a father. Now, I discover you need elder brothers to grow well. And other brothers will deal with you. Some of you dodge elder brothers. You don't want to be told straight. Pastor says, oh, wow. Well, how are we going to manage it? Sometimes you need somebody to tell you, look, guy, you don't do well. If you don't have anybody that can tell you that in your life, you are missing. Nobody can call you to order. And then the very person that you want to call you to order will always look at you and say, yeah, if I hate this person. Because I remember, look, there's some decision I had to make in my life. I went to pastor. When pastor handled it, I knew he was not playing. He didn't spend 2 minutes. One of them was, he didn't want to stop me. I said, pastor, I'm angry. So what is it? That's the first thing, pastor, what is it? You won't tell you that. He said, oh, my daughter, what is it? Come, sorry. Pardon me, what is it? Immediately arranged. I told him, okay, I should not be angry. I should come and tell pastor I'm angry. What kind of something is that one? Immediately I said, okay, pastor. Say, well, father, forgive them, but they know what they did. And that he walked off. That was the end. That's what he told me. Say, father, forgive them, I didn't know. If he does that, you say, this pastor doesn't love me. You know the Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we don't know him. And some of us never want to see him. If he comes up in our shepherd, we say he's hatred. He doesn't like me. And some of you will go and hide under because pastor is walking in meekness. And he's not walking in meekness, he's walking in high wisdom because he knows if he hates you the way he hates us, you won't be okay. You will run away. So you're like, I'm talking angrily, pastor. I talk to pastor. Grow up. Go and submit to elder brothers who will knock your head. And you say, thank you, sir. That's a word for somebody. You are hiding under a pseudo proximity. You don't even have proximity to pastor. You don't have it. Pastor can't talk to you. If Pastor Tope cannot talk to you, pastor can't talk to you.
you, Lord Jesus. Correct your heart. 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 I want you to correct your heart. I want you to correct your heart. I want you to repent and correct your heart. I want you to repent and make amendments even in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. For that which has been spoken, even that which has been addressed, even at this time, is meant for your heart, is meant for your heart. For you see, if you don't properly discern even alignment and order, even of authority, and you don't honor authority in each level the way I have placed it, you also will not discern alignment and order that are invisible. For the authority that you can see, even the pastors that I have set, even under my servant, are to train you even for order in the spirit, even invisible order. Therefore, I say, correct your heart, correct your heart. For if you do not correct your heart, and you have a wrong disposition of heart, even a wrong posture of heart, I will not let you come near. I will not let you draw near. I will keep you even afar from me and my Father. Afar from me and my Father. I say, correct your heart. Correct your heart. I heard the Lord talking to some people. Correct your heart. I'm talking to you. Correct your heart. Correct your heart and fear.
Lord, help us to correct all our hearts in Jesus' name. You know, we are all defaulting in this measure somehow. So there's nobody that is, I'm doing my own well. No, this, you can always do better. So let's not, don't excuse yourself. As Pastor Papa Egan would say, don't listen to the prophecy with a shovel and just shovel it over your head. No, listen with a spoon. Take it in. Take it in. Lord, will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Something just popped in my heart. So that's not misconstrued. When I said, if you don't listen to Pastor Tokwe, Pastor can't hear you. No, I'm also speaking. I know there are some times where our grace levels differ. Pastor can reach you because of the grace he has. He has a higher grace than all of us. So sometimes we need that grace capacity. But it's not because, sometimes yes, sometimes we too have that. Sometimes we're out of, when somebody's too stubborn. So, Pastor, I'm going to lay you by because I do not. We all have issues, but I'm saying that I'm not saying that Pastor Tokman's grace is lower than that. Is no. What I'm saying is that, and I even say sometimes you would decide that this way you are dodgy. You are dodging dealing. You are dodging. The pastor must not have. Pastor don't have time for some close marking. There was somebody I had close marking upon who lived in my house. P. Sam. I can always say his name because P. Sam is very close to me. P. Sam. He enjoyed close marking. And he's such a beautiful soul today. We can send people to P. Sam. But close marking. Oh, Jesus. P. Sam, if he wants the truth, he knows he's going. If he wants to hide, he can't come to me. I will tell you, boy, what's wrong with you? But I can't do that to everybody. Some people are like, It's a way we can look at it too. God will help. And I need it because I can be very brash. I say, there's a way we can look at it. Are you sure? Well, I'm sure. Well, let's look at it again. I've had some people to do that. I have to do that for some people. But I say, you need somebody that can call you to order. Let's say amen. All right, and you will find that in house fellowship. Sometimes, you know, sometimes brethren are very good at resetting our head. When your brother says, why are you thinking you have an issue? Let's say sometimes you have an issue with spiritual authority. And then your brother, you just tell the brother, and the way you will say, you want to die. Before you know it, you just arrange yourself. But I see pastor said that the devil will tell you that the pastor is mean. But sheep to sheep, was that he said? Sheep to sheep in evangelism is the most effective. And it's in the scripture. He says, and that day some will say, come. Two of us, we are down. Come, let us go to the mount of the Lord. Two of us, let's go together. Low man will tell low man, let's go up. Two of us together. Not the message, the law was coming from there, but if sheep was telling sheep, nah, let's not stay here. Let's go up. Let's go up. And I find that you see a lot of that kind of interaction in house fellowship. Because house fellowship is a different setting. That will help us. Okay, we are done. I didn't know we'll take this long. God have mercy. Just one page. It is a place to be further, where our consistency and faithfulness can be further enhanced. A lot of the time, graces are built in us through house fellowship. Some of us, that's where we started interpreting tongues. Some of us, that's where we started prophesying. You have been here. No prophecy came out of your mouth. But your house fellowship, some people say, Satan will tell you, man, that's you're taking the big stage. No, do it in house fellowship. It is for house fellowship. It's for house fellowship. We are not performers. It's not performance. Wow, bring it up. Let everybody know. No, we are not performing. There was a burden. The Lord is addressing a need in the house. Me, I first started prophesying in house fellowship.
Pastor Thompson's house. That's the first time I ever came for that. First time I interpreted tongues in this place was in Pastor Thompson's house. So you get. So it's the Lord unlocks certain graces in us under that atmosphere because the Lord needs to say something. And maybe the usual suspects are not around. They would find the next ready vessel. And as you grow in that grace expression, you find that it becomes part of you. And somehow, maybe you become to the bigger house if that is your desire. That should not be a desire. That's not a good desire to have. So it is opportunities to serve which might not have arisen due to a large number of saints in the larger gatherings are readily available in house fellowship. Yes. Understanding that the Lord can just as faithfully be served in a little gathering of saints as in a large crowd would greatly help us take advantage of the opportunity that's house fellowship. There's nothing you do with the right heart in house fellowship that will give you a lesser reward than you do in the larger house. Especially if you do with the right heart. It's the right heart. Because Lord knows you can trust that heart that if you do it well in house fellowship, you can do it well in the larger house. Let's say amen. It's a place where a commitment to God and to his people is further improved. The effectiveness of the presence of God is not skewed by numbers. God's not moved when we are 1,000 or one. Now, I know there's a place for numbers, but the intensity of the Lord you can express individually is not affected by number. It's affected by heart receiving what the Lord is bringing through that vessel or through that orchestration at that time. Let's say amen. So he alone is more than all humanity put together. That's God. So we have just as much opportunity in house fellowship to develop a deeper commitment to the things of God as we do in a larger congregation. Let's say amen. Okay, things to note concerning house fellowship. Very important. One, all the blessings of God that are in Christ are always available according to the administration of the Spirit every time we as God's people, gather in house fellowship churches. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is present in the house fellowship. Let's say amen. Now that grammar is that Jesus is in your house fellowship. Tell your neighbor, Jesus. Jesus. Hey, say Jesus. The head of the church is present in my house fellowship. Tell him in your house fellowship. Jesus is present. I mean, he has to be present because he said it. He said, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, say, there I am in the midst of them. Where two or three. Once there's a gathering in the name of the Lord, Jesus honors it. He has the capacity to honor it. And all his administrations are present there. Every grace required for us to prosper, even in that little gathering, or to move forward, is present at that time. I know some things need to be declared over us in a larger congregation. That is true. But that in no way waters down the effectiveness and effectual position that house fellowship has in disseminating the grace or the administrations of Christ over our souls. Let's say amen. In fact, you find more opportunities to exercise yourself in those virtues in house fellowship because of close proximity. You can't hide. The fact that we are two or three or few in number does not stop the Lord from being in our midst or commanding his blessing upon us. Let's say amen. Also, the gifts of grace of Christ can and would be sharpened and become finer and grow in house fellowship churches. Let's say amen. For some of us, we have never had all our leadership opportunities until we became house fellowship leaders. And you just found a grace for leading, a grace for some of us are divinely blessed shepherds. You just have a shepherd's heart. That may never come to fore except you had people that you were relating with in that regard. And such things come to expression in house fellowship. So you say in our house fellowship, we have a brother who has a need. I just see how your heart, there's just so much compassion. And then you're able to rally everybody else in the house. And then you meet that need. That is a grace that you probably would never have come to fruition if you stayed aloof, just coming to Sunday service, hiding, going back. Because the Lord has organized those things to unlock certain graces that he himself put there. And that is also tied to all our salvation process. Let's say amen. The same is true of gifts of the Spirit. Like I said earlier, prophecy can come out. Even less, and I don't want us to limit it in our minds. Every gift of the Spirit can flow in your house fellowship. You can pray for healing in your house fellowship and somebody gets healed. It's because Jesus is there. That's it, because Jesus is there. Don't joke with the gathering of saints. Gathering of saints are very important. They command a presence. They command a presence that, if well understood, can be harnessed for blessing. Let's say amen. A further establishment in truth would be greater enhanced as a result of being properly grounded in the word through teaching that is better taught at brought home rather in house fellowship churches. You have questions. Sometimes daddy gives a message, you have a sermon, and there are questions in your heart. House fellowship answers them. House fellowship should answer them. From there, even pastor can get feedback. Okay, this person didn't understand this, and then probably the Lord will have, as the Lord will lead him, will have pastor readdress those things, you know, which if we just met on Sunday, you just go on with your confusion and you bring it back next Sunday and you put confusion upon confusion upon confusion, which is supposed to have been answered in house fellowship, is not answered because the person didn't value that meeting. So you have questions. Some of us have questions. Some people have questions. Like one of our pastors was telling, he just asked people in his house. He just did the Ojo. He said, you see this everlasting life, entire life. I don't really get it to all of them. Say, yes, pastor, now wow. I thought it's only you. Me, self, all of them. Now, he was able to address it there in the house, which was not, daddy could have gone on teaching, gone on preaching, and that confusion would have remained. The Lord raised house fellowship to deal with those things so that we can all go together. Let's say amen. So that's another great opportunity we have in house fellowship. Questions can be answered. So if you have questions in service, questions in fellowship, you know, things that are asked you don't really get, ask an house fellowship. Give them to your house fellowship leader. If he can't answer them, because no house fellowship leader will answer a question he cannot answer, he will just say, okay, don't worry, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. But it is registered. And then the Lord will definitely meet that need. Let's say amen. And that's the last thing that was being taught. Okay, it says the house fellowship church should not be seen as a burden. Let's say amen. Amen. Oh, because it's usually during the week or after church on Sundays, oh my God, house fellowship again. No, it's not a burden. It says to be endured. Rather, we should see it as an avenue to fellowship with the Godhead and other brethren as we also do in church building meetings. The Lord is faithful. Let's say amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor T will round up. He is the Sunday school superintendent. So, but I just want to buttress something he said just to enable us to understand properly what he was implying there. Now, in NLWC, we pastor in team. It's a teamwork. The pastoral, we call it pastoral team. All right? Do you understand that? So I don't want you to misunderstand it when he was talking about it was basically in the number three in our, he was talking about alignment and submission to spiritual authority. I know some people, once you hear spiritual authority, you know, somehow your antenna just goes up. Now, I always say this, spiritual authority is a blessing. Is a great blessing. In fact, all authorities are of God. Authority in itself is a blessing. Nothing can actually come down to anybody at any level without the issue of authority. You have to be authorized. And then I always say this, you will also not be able to come into, spiritual authority is for us to enjoy. It's something we should enjoy. Praise God. So I don't want us to see it wrongly. I don't want us to, you know, begin to think, okay, they're always talking about spiritual authority. They brought spiritual authority again here into this study. I thought we were talking about house fellowship. But what he was just trying to make you see is, I know some of us will feel there are some issues you need to see pastor. Now, most of the time, I can't lie to you. Most of the time, it will be better for you to see any of the pastors. There's a young man, he has been wanting to see me. I told him, no, I said, you won't see me. I'm sending you to one of the pastors. He said, no, pastor, it's something I need to do. I said, no, I will not allow you to see because I can't deal with it. It's not that I don't want to give you audience. I need someone who will. It's an issue that someone needs to mentor you, guide you. I travel most of the time.
I may not be able to. So if you bring it to me and you want me to play that role, a whole lot of things will be going on in your life, and then you will never, I will not, not that I won't know, but I will not be able to give you that close, he called it close marking. That close marking is for effective mentoring, pastoring. That's the word I will use. Effective mentoring. Now, you insist, okay, I want to see, it's just pastor that I need to hear this. If you bring it to me, I'll still send you to any of them. I do that most of the time. I'll tell you, go and meet so-and-so pastor. I'll call the pastor and tell him, please, this person, he needs attention in this area. Please, take care of it. Praise God. So what I'm just saying in essence is that we do it together as a team. Pastoring, we do it together as a team, is to enable us handle your case. So there is no place for, you know, that thing, okay, is pastor that must hear my case. You'll be surprised at your case. I'm not the only one that, except if it is a case that I feel I should just hear it and then deal with it and end it there. Sensitive cases like that, nobody will hear it. Not even my wife will hear it. I'll just deal with it and it ends there. But there are cases where we need to deliberate. This, and this. What do we do about it? Among the pastors, they know that. What do we do about it? It's okay, let's handle it this way. And, you know, where there is multitude of counsel, the Bible says there is safety. Praise God. So I want you to understand it from that aspect. Then, finally, just to mention, one of the things the Lord showed me when we started House Fellowship, one of the major things the Lord, you know, showed me when we started having House Fellowship, he said to me, he said, gifts. Gifts, ministry gifts are going to come out of House Fellowships. Not just spiritual gifts only. There is spiritual gifts, there is ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are going to come out of House Fellowship. Because in House Fellowship, there's a way it is. You know the Lord, there's something about the Lord and how he handles things. Let me give you an example. The Lord had the multitude. Then he had the 70. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 3. Did you remember? Now, why all those divisions? It's not that the 70 or the multitude are not important. No, it's just what, or just the fact that they can't handle certain things as a multitude. So there are things that it might take only the 12 to handle. And you tell them, tell nobody until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Now, if he says it in a multitude, they will, I'm telling you, if he had mentioned his death in the multitude, I'm sure there are people there that will vow that he will not die. Some of those people that, you see those guys that ate the bread and the fish? How can you die? Praise God. Because you dying means our bread and our fish is not guaranteed. So he will tell them, tell nobody until. It means they are the only ones that can keep it. Now, the transfiguration experience, it was only 3. Can I tell you why he told them to tell nobody? If it was 12 of them, Judas wouldn't do what he did. That I can tell you. Judas wouldn't do what he did. Somebody will say, does it mean that Judas will? No. He might not repent. Because Satan has done something in his heart. But he will just immediately look. Oh boy, I don't go this area. Let me look for something else to do. But it was, according to timing, it was time for him to go to the cross. And then someone had to do it. So when he took the three and told them, don't tell anybody, even the 12, until I have risen from the dead. So you can now understand why informations, you know, why the Lord does such. Now, why am I saying so? In house fellowship, there is the level of, I'll call it level of proximity to the Lord that the house fellowship has to reaching you than what we will be able to reach you from the pulpit here. How many of us understand that? There's a way the Lord will reach you in house fellowship that we can't reach you from the pulpit here. So I just want you to understand that so that you can understand what he was saying. Praise God. Did you understand it? Did you understand what I said? All right, Pastor, please.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, for the purpose of obeying Daddy, because if he asked me, I think in what Daddy has said did suffice. But for the purpose of obeying Daddy, I will just say one of two things. From our own point view of those who serve under Daddy Egwuchukwu, maybe just to say another side of what Pastor TJ said. We also know there are things we can't handle. And, you know, thank God for the kind of art we've seen with Pastor relating with Daddy and Mommy Oyegoke. All of us that serve this week, I've seen two faces here in church today that came to me with issues that I knew were beyond my radar of authority. You understand? I told one, I said, you need to go and see Daddy Egwuchukwu and tell him about it. The other one, I said, you and your wife, go and see Daddy Egwuchukwu and tell him about it. Because first of all, we've seen it demonstrated that, you know, we have issues in NLWC. We have issues that we handle, you know, in EGFM under Daddy Egwuchukwu. And many a times you see, you know, Pastor will tell us this thing has to get to Daddy. Ordinarily, prior to when the Lord gave us understanding through Pastor, we feel like Pastor should handle this. But Pastor will say, don't worry, I'll take it to Daddy. So over the years, we've also learned, myself, Pastor TJ, Pastor Ayo, Pastor Yola, all the other pastors, you know, that serve under Daddy Egwuchukwu, that there are things that are beyond our radar of authority. You know, it's not just the counsel. It's not just the word that you give people, is the authority. You understand? If you've ever given somebody counsel and mismanaged their life, you'll be careful. You understand? You know, you say somebody should do something, and the end of it, you see the person suffer. You understand? You just be careful. Then apart from that, it's unfaithfulness. So I'm saying that for to say, peradventure, maybe there are people who feel like, you know, it's possible. Somebody might feel like, you understand, while it shouldn't be your heart's disposition that, you know, Pastor TJ cannot handle my matter. It's Daddy Egwuchukwu that can handle it. It's not, it shouldn't be your heart's disposition, you understand. But it's good to also know that when you come to Ross, you know, it's a unanimous, gracious heart the Lord has blessed us with. We just tell you, we can't handle this. You understand? We can't, and sometimes we throw it amongst ourselves. Like, for example, today now, there is something that, you know, yesterday we all discussed on the group and we're like, we can't handle it. We have to look for somebody who can handle it. So God has helped us to a degree under Pastor. That is being said so that you feel free to take, you know, bring matters to the pastorate under Daddy Egwuchukwu or your house fellowship pastor. We've also seen that with house fellowship pastor, you know, I can tell, you know, call names after name, house fellowship pastor, who will call Pastor Yola and say, this thing happened, I don't know how to handle it. Some will call Pastor TJ, some will call me. I can't tell how many times the King Joe has called me on our fellowship issues, and I will tell him, okay, let's do it like this, let's do it like this. If it's beyond my radar of authority, I call Daddy Egwuchukwu. Let's say amen. Amen. Then there are other cases also that it's not that they will call. We give it to people who are specialists. There are many of us that the pastorate sends to maybe somebody like Pastor Ike because he has certain grace. You understand? I thought, you know, we were just us that were doing it until I spoke to Daddy in recent weeks. Daddy told me, he said some cases that comes to him, he just takes it and say, go and meet Pastor AK. But some of you don't even know who is Pastor AK. Neither do you know the case that we're talking about. But coming to the pastorate, you know, matters will be pushed in the proper direction. And at the end of the day, you know, salvation prospers in our heart. Let's say amen. So that's the other side of it. Then lastly, you know, the reason for this lesson is to have heart adjustment, you know, with regards to house fellowship. You know, in places, you know, generally, and I think it's, I love the way the Lord really used you today to really, really show the from scriptures, the beauty of house fellowship and the importance of house fellowship. Generally in the body, not being accusatory, the thing about house fellowship is seen as a burden. When you say house fellowship, people don't like it like that. And it's good to know God has really helped us in NLWC. Of course, like you said, by God's grace, we're going to get better, you know, as the Lord would help us. You understand? House fellowship, I know, it's one of the reasons why people are afraid. They will think maybe we spend hours. In house fellowship in NLWC, we don't go beyond 1.5 hours. House fellowship is not where they, you know, they start, you know, Book of Revelations chapter 22. That's not house fellowship. House fellowship, the intent of house fellowship is bonding, is family, is, like Pastor said, is dwelling together. And I can assure you, it's going to be very, very beautiful. Many of us are products of house fellowship in New and Living Way Church. And you understand, just let's look forward to it. You understand, it will bring so much beauty and complements what the Lord is doing here in church. Let's say amen. How many of you look forward to being members of an house fellowship if you've not been? It promises to be a great time. And the Lord bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's say amen.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for